Welcome back to Combat Talk Radio, combattalk.fm. My name is Leister. I am your host. We're going to get into our weekend of boxing. First, let's refresh on some events that happened ever most recently. First up, David Benavidez. He's tossing his coins into the pot. He says he wants Canelo. Canelo! He wants him. He wants the fight. I think people should want that fight. I think people understand that's the logical fight to make. But Canelo is going to be fighting Jaime Munguia. And I know it's, you know, officially, if you're pronouncing it, it's Munguia, because I'm Spanish, but Munguia flows better off the tongue, so I'm going to go with that. So Canelo's going to be fighting Munguia, and people are criticizing the fight, and what I said was it's a decent fight. It's not a great one. It's just a decent fight, you know. The reason people are pissed off, though, I'm going to level set this, and I know there's some out here who disagree with me. The reason that you're pissed off about Canelo's choice is because you know Munguia has no chance. In my mind, he doesn't have a chance to beat Canelo. He's not in Canelo's class. He's a lesser fighter. He has the 40 fights, but he's fought mostly scrubs. He had a couple of step-ups, but the step-ups he did have, he had some trouble. He got hurt, and then people look at Canelo and say, okay, yeah, he's on the decline. Yeah, he is, but I don't think it matters with Munguia. I think it's just skills and levels to it, and Munguia's too young, and, you know, he yawned out, you know, and he's not had a lot of tests, and so this will be a test for him. If Munguia pulls it out, let's say he does, right? If he pulls it out, he's not going to get credit from any of you because you'll just say Canelo was washed and he was damaged and all this other excuse. So for me, I have no problem with him taking the fight in lieu of Benavidez, but I felt like he should have fought Benavidez at this point because Benavidez is red hot. He's riding off a high, especially with the Andre win. He's riding off a high. He's the monster in the room. Not in terms of the skill, right? Because Plant took him the distance. So it's not that. It's just right now he's red hot, and I felt like you got to strike when it's hot and go now. If you think back, Sugar Ray Leonard fought Tommy Hearns when Tommy Hearns was hot. Duran fought Tommy Hearns when Tommy Hearns was hot. Hagler fought Tommy Hearns when Tommy Hearns was hot. They fought this threat, this danger, when he was red fucking hot. Pepino Cuevas fought Hearns when he was red hot. And in some cases, they fell. In some cases, they didn't. Duran fell. It is what it is, right? Cuevas fell. Sugar Ray got the win. Hagler got the win. So some guys will just pass the test and some guys won't. That's the nature of the sport when you want to excite the fans. If you don't want to excite the fans, then it is what it is. And I do think it's going to be an exciting fight, this Canelo Munguia. I do think it's going to be exciting. I just don't think it's going to be what the fans currently want to see. And I guess, my guess, is Munguia simply just being positioned as another test for Canelo, as in, let's see if he's washed. Let's see if he's damaged. And then if he's damaged, Munguia is going to expose that. That's possible too. I don't know for sure, but that's what's kind of on deck there. Well, Benavidez took it a step further and he said, look, this is what I'll do. Let's have the fight up there in Saudi Arabia. If we do it in Saudi Arabia, if I lose, if he beats me, I'll donate my purse to charity. That's how bad I want to take this fight. So he wants to fight. Again, I think most smart fans really want the fight and should want the fight. I think it's a good fight. Is it going to happen? I think yes. I just don't think it's going to happen yet. I don't think it will. If Benavidez goes to 175, Canelo said he doesn't mind fighting at 175. Now that's interesting because, but you know, the two fights Canelo's had at 175, Kovalev, he dominated Kovalev, but got dominated by Bivol. Is there something that Canelo knows in terms of why he lost to Bivol that gives him confidence of beating Benavidez at 175? And then why would it matter? Why would you think you can beat him at 175, but you don't think you can beat him at 168? Is there something that he knows, right? That's intriguing. We're going to keep an eye on that one and see how it goes. Meanwhile, on the other side, Bam Rodriguez, he's changing weight again. Again, this guy keeps flipping weight. At some point, he's going to get hurt like Roy Jones. But he's flipping weight again. He's going after now Estrada. Estrada is the champion. Estrada is one of the four kings. So now Bam Rodriguez took out Rung Vijay, right? And that was a shocker. Nobody expected that. Bam Rodriguez took out Quadras. That wasn't as much of a shocker, but it was enough, right? So two of the four kings have already fallen to this dude, and now he's going after Estrada. He's already said he's going to duck Chocolatito because they're friends. If he was smart from a marketing perspective, he would take out all four of the kings and cement his legacy, but he's not going to do that. Of course, you know, Rodriguez coming off the high of dominating Sonny Edwards, so this kid is solid. He's top-notch. This is happening in June as I record that. So that's going to be a hell of a fight. Now, I do think Estrada's been too inactive. He's been out of the ring for a while, and that bothers me. And I know there's a lot of politics behind his specific situation. I'm saying that as champion, I'm disappointed to see him out of the ring. He almost lost the second fight against Rung Vijay. He didn't look that great. It was really Rung Vijay fighting stupid than anything that Estrada specifically did, because it was close. It was razor close. So I think Estrada's on the decline, which would tell me that Rodriguez is just going to wash him. I hope not, because I hope it's a competitive fight for as long as it lasts, but we'll check that out as well. Now let's get into our week of boxing, and I do stress week because there's some fights happening midweek. But let's talk about the fights that are happening right now, and then I'll close out with one recap that from a fight that happened just prior. Out in Sheffield in the UK, 12 rounds of super lightweight action. Dalton Smith fighting Jose Cepeda. Fantastic fight. Obviously, it's a fantastic fight. If you don't think it's a fantastic fight, you're not a fan. It's a fantastic fight because you're dealing with two warriors in there. This is a fight between two warriors. This is a fight between two guys who want to win. Zepeda's coming off a stoppage loss, and I think that's got people a little bit flipped on him. And he won his fight prior to that, and then he got stopped prior to that. So he has been slipping off. I'm not debating this, but he's still a warrior in there. He's still going to try. He makes a mistake and he gets caught. That's what happened. In his last fight, he got dominated by decision, but it wasn't like he made significant mistakes. It was just levels. Between it, the better man won that night. You could run it back and probably see a different decision with that one. So I am not going to tell you that this is an easy fight for Smith, because it's not. I'm sorry. Dalton Smith's got everything cut out for him in terms of his skill, power in both hands, rangy. He's just a solid kid. But we have to level set with Jose Cepeda. Jose Cepeda is going to try. He's going to work his ass off the whole night through. This one's interesting because Cepeda is obviously the vet in this one. He's got a lot of experience. He's been in the game coming up on, 20 years? Very close. 20 years experience in the game. So he's slightly older, but he's a southpaw. And again, he's got power. He's a warrior. The whole nine. So I think it's a great test for Smith. I think it's a great fight overall. I'm going to lean towards Smith. And the only reason I'm leaning towards Smith this time is because, again, Cepeda at this stage of his career, it's all about the mistakes he makes. And if anybody can exploit it, it's going to be Smith. Smith's going to, I think he's going to exploit a mistake that Cepeda makes, which is going to give Smith the W. That's my call on it. It's not going to be, I don't see it's going to be a wash either way. I don't see that Smith's going to dominate him or Cepeda's going to dominate him. I think Cepeda's going to make a mistake, get caught, and Smith will get his hand raised. This is on DAZN, by the way. The other fight on that same event, 10 rounds at women's welterweight action, Sandy Ryan versus Terry Harper. Of course, both gals are coming off the draw. And this fight was kind of anticipated because of Terry Harper. And Terry Harper has been, so here's the background story on this business. There was a point where Terry Harper was looked at as kind of one of those stars. I actually had an argument with somebody on NSB who was talking about how Terry Harper was a pound for pound. And I said, you're not going to be able to qualify to me that a female is going to be a pound for pound fighter. You can say a pound for pound woman's fighter. And he's like, no, I'm talking pound for pound of all. And no, I'm sorry. That's not it. And then Harper got stopped in four and then she recovered a little bit and then just recently went to a draw. I'm sorry. I don't see, it's not that she's not skilled. I'm saying there's levels to the shit. And I didn't see that out of her. Meanwhile, Sandy Ryan, I think she's good. The problem with Ryan has always been power. I think she struggles when she needs to use, she needs power, she doesn't have it. So if she's in there against somebody that she can't keep off of her, she has problems. And that's what I saw cause the draw in her last fight. So I'm going to lean, this is hard, but I'm going to lean towards Harper. From a mentality perspective, I think Harper's mind is in it a little bit more than Ryan. Ryan may show me something, but I think Terry Harper is just mentally stronger than Ryan. It's not even about skill. It's just mental strength of the two. Now we're going to switch to ESPN Plus in the U.S., Sky Sports in the U.K., out in Glendale in the U.K., 10 rounds at super featherweight action, Oscar Valdez fighting Liam Wilson. Amazing fight for what it is. Of course, both guys have two losses on record, so people have been critical of the general of the fight, and especially with Oscar Valdez. You talk about a guy. I've never been so disappointed in a fighter as I am with Oscar Valdez. I was arguing with, again, somebody on NSB who was swearing Oscar Valdez is this, that. Yeah, he is, but he doesn't seem to be able to adjust in the ring. He doesn't seem to have a plan B when his plan A doesn't work. He goes out there, and then gets embarrassed when something happens, and that frustrates me because I think he could be a quality fighter, but for whatever fucking reason, he seems to get it off rocker. So, and we saw that twice now, so I'm hopeful. I don't know how optimistic, but I'm hopeful that he's got his mind right. He's back in the game. He's going to show us what he appeared to be prior to him fighting Shakur. Because I'm going to tell you right now, if anybody is going to be able to dominate the dude, it's going to be Liam Wilson. Liam Wilson is solid. Liam Wilson is really good. He makes mistakes, but he's really good as a boxer. That's just what he is. So I see Liam Wilson could upset the card again because he's that good to be able to do that, unless Valdez has his mind right. Again, it's all about mental strength in this one. To me, it's mental strength. If Valdez isn't there, he's going to take another L. And if he takes another L, he needs to really consider hanging him the fuck up, because I'm getting sick and tired, really, frankly, of seeing this dude. Every single time out, he doesn't seem to be able to show up like he needs to. And I don't know what's causing it, but it's really frustrating. By the way, this event in ESPN Plus is happening next Friday, but I'm recording it today because I may miss it. In fact, I probably will miss it. So I'm recording all this today to summarize what's going on there. Undercard of that same event, 10 rounds at minimum weight, women's action. Sinesia Estrada, the amazing one, fighting Yocasta Valle. I love Sinesia Estrada. She's amazing. Good fight. Now, you know, I say that Sinesia Estrada, she's been dominated. I'm talking as a person, right? And I know I sound biased, but I'm talking as a person. She's a good person. She really is. And I feel for her. She had, and Valle, you know, if she could beat anybody, it's Valle. Valle has no power. She debuted not long ago. She's not a physical threat, but neither is Estrada. So if you're interested in women's action, do absolutely check it out. It is what it is. But I don't think it's going to be a very exciting fight. If you're going to watch it because you want to support the women. You know, I'm being honest with it. I don't even want to call it because it's not fair to them. Undercard of the same event, 10 rounds of lightweight action. Raymond Muratala makes his return against Julisani Nagini. Nagini frustrates me. I don't know if it's just, with him, I don't think it's mental. I think he is like the Andy Harris of the modern era. You know, he just, for whatever reason, he had a thing. He was set up with fighters and then he started taking L's and he seems comfortable now taking L's, and that bothers me. I don't know why. Muratala, this is a setup fight for Muratala to look good, and I understand, but I feel bad for Muratala because he deserves better than this in terms of an opponent. Undercard of the same event, 10 rounds at super lightweight action. Lindolfo Delgado versus Carlos Sanchez Valadez. I am mixed on this fight. I'm mixed because Delgado, it's another mismatch. It's another mismatch, just like the last one. You know, this is a mismatch. Delgado, he's going to blow this guy out. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I don't even want to talk about it. It's a mismatch. And I don't like blatant mismatches. Blatant mismatches. See, I don't mind the occasional mismatch. You know, they're unavoidable. But like one mismatch on an otherwise solid card, sure. But I don't like blatant mismatches where like every fight on the freaking card appears to be a mismatch. That's what I don't like. And that's what that appears to be to me. And I don't want to see it. It is what it is. Speaking of mismatches, back on DAZN, this is on the previous event. And this is happening today. 10 rounds of super welterweight action, Ishmael Davis versus Troy Williamson. And Troy Williamson's coming off two close losses. So he's not dominant losses, two close losses, and has been solid otherwise. But he's going against Ishmael Davis, who has been solid, but he's not spectacular. So when I say mismatch, the irony of this one is I think Williamson dominates Davis. I think Davis is protected. I think Davis is overrated to a degree. I think Williamson's had a rough time simply because of, you know, unfortunate circumstances. But I think Williamson's the better fighter to a significant degree versus Davis. So I would consider it a mismatch in the opposite direction. It's like, why would you match Davis against this guy who, from my eyes, is much more skilled than your guy? I don't know. Anyway, that's our weekend of boxing and our week of boxing to come. And then just to follow up, because we had the fight that I covered last time, and my thing here is they're moving the schedules around a little bit. And so this one, I had covered it and then it immediately happened right after it. So I couldn't talk about it until now. But it's Zepeda versus Hughes that happened last Saturday. And people said that this is going to be a blowout. And truly, there was a stoppage. Hughes quit. That happened. But Hughes was there. He was fighting. He was there. He was trying. It's just he got overwhelmed. And I wanted to stress, I got the call wrong, but I didn't, you know, the outcome was what I expected. I expected Hughes was going to fight. He was going to try. I just expected he was going to falter under that. And that's what happened. And so I want to give a shout out to Zepeda for an amazing performance that night. That was one of the best performances I think I've seen overall from him. And it gives me highlights for the future. The other thing I want to talk about, you're no longer undisputed welterweight champion, Terrence Bud Crawford. Of course, he got stripped to the IBF, handed over to Boots Ennis because he ducked Boots Ennis' butt. Crawford now has been talking about possibly going into fighting Tim Tszyu. He's allegedly lobbied to the WBO to fight the winner of the fight between Tim Tszyu and Sebastian Fundora. And if you're wondering what I'm talking about, it was supposed to be Keith Once Upon a Time Thurman or Keith At One Time Thurman, depending on who you ask, fighting Tim Tszyu in what would be Keith's get back fight, as he describes it. That fight's not going to happen because Keith got hurt. Apparently his bicep was causing him problems. He's had bicep issues for years. It's not a recent injury, but apparently that happened in training camp. And so he's out of the fight. So then Sebastian Fundora, who was fighting on the undercard, is taking over for Keith. And so now it's Fundora versus Tszyu. And people swear it's a shocker on Tszyu. I don't see it. I would if Fundora fought like I think he should. He doesn't fight like I think he should. He doesn't use his height. He doesn't use his range. He's an inside fighter. And I speculated it's because of his eyesight that he has no choice. He's got to fight on the inside. And so for me, I was looking at it like, I'm going to see that Fundora is going to get absolutely washed because of the way he fights, not because of the late replace, but because of the way he fights, that's a problem. But Tim Tszyu is the worst person to do that against because he is an inside. He prefers fighting inside. I shouldn't say an inside fighter. He prefers fighting inside. He excels inside. Whereas Fundora, I believe he fights inside because he kind of has to. I think in this case, no, I think Tszyu prefers fighting inside and he excels at it. It's not that he has to, you know, it's different. It's different if you're required to do it versus you prefer to do it. It's not the same thing. And I think that's what's throwing people off from my lens is they're treating it like, well, no, but Fundora is a late replace. He's rangy. He's, you know, different Paul. Yeah, but he doesn't use any of those traits, bro. If he did, then yes, I would see it easily as trouble for Tim Tszyu. But Fundora hasn't shown any of this in fights. He should not have gotten knocked out by Mendoza. I'm sorry. He should not have. That's not dinging Mendoza. But no, Fundora doesn't use those traits. So I don't buy that. I don't. I'm sorry. And I will not. We'll wrap up with our Pro Box. Because I'm starting to get, I'm a real big fan of Pro Box. They're a really good outlet. They're doing the right shit. I don't like their schedule. I don't. Them booking on Wednesday pisses me off. But it is what it is. Fine. So I'm going to do my Pro Box coverage, and I think I'll just settle on this. I'll do the Pro Box last. Say the best for last, right? So Pro Box TV, they're booking an event that's just happening Wednesday at the White Sands Event Center up in Plant City on live, and you can buy tickets on Pro Box. 10 rounds of lightweight action. Mick Walters, last seen quitting against Lomachenko many years ago, finally makes his fucking return after quitting in ignominy. Finally makes his return. He's fighting Joseph Adorno, and Joseph Adorno, he's had a rough time of it. At one time, he was a decent fighter. I wouldn't say great, but a decent fighter. Slipped off, has been getting decision losses. He's not been getting knocked out, but he's getting decision losses, draws. Like, he's not been. So if there was going to be a good get-back fight for Walters, it's going to be Adorno. Of course, Walters is the B-side, which surprised me, but Walters is the B-side here. Adorno is portrayed as the star, but he's not really the star. Nick Walters, before he quit against Lomachenko, Nick Walters was considered a boogeyman of the division. He was a solid fighter. And then he had the draw prior to Lomachenko, quit against Lomachenko, disappeared for years, and then just now comes back. He swore after the fact, he swore that the reason that he did that was because he knew he wasn't going to win. He knew it was stacked against him. He was making allegations that I was disappointed. It's like, come on, dude. The point is you quit. You were on camera telling the ref, you know, when the ref said, do you want to continue? He said, no. I mean, that's what it was. You quit. So why ever you quit, doesn't matter. You quit. For this fight, I suspect Nick Walters is going to get a W here. I suspect, but, you know, who knows? Maybe his mind's not right. Again, he's been out a long fucking time. I can't even remember when that Loma was. What was that, 2016? No, can't be 2016 because he's only 38. Well, could have been. No, I don't think it's 2016, though. I don't think it was. I think it was, what, 20? what is that, 2019, 2018? It's been a while, but I don't think it's been that long. But it's been a while since he quit, and then he's trying to rebuild, and I give him credit for that. But at the same time, you know, his mind might not be right. Who knows? I think it's worth seeing it to see where his head's at. He's not going to be a player in the division. He's 38 years old. He wasted the vast majority of his career after that quit. So, and then not coming back after he quit. He's not going to be a player in the division going forward. That much I can tell you for sure. Undercard of the same event, 10 rounds of super lightweight action. Jesus Eduardo Saracho riding Starling Wilson Castillo. Really good fight for what it is. I wouldn't say it's a great fight, but a good fight. Good matched fight on the numbers. Roughly even on the books. Both good kids, both young. Saracho's much younger by far, but I don't think that's going to matter. They're otherwise numerically matched very well. Like, it's a good fight to watch. I don't even want to call this one. It's right down the middle as far as I see it. And then this is a DAZN fight, and this one is going to be happening on Thursday. That's why I'm getting pissed off, because these fucking schedules. Anyway, on Thursday, 12 rounds of heavyweight action on DAZN at Wayne State Fieldhouse in Detroit. Juan Carrillo versus Quentin Rankin. A decent fight, not a great fight. Carrillo is the up-and-comer, although he's debuted not long ago, but I say up-and-comer, you know. He doesn't have a lot of fights is what I mean. And then Rankin's been in the game quite a bit, and he's not been spectacular. I expect it's a showcase fight for Carrillo. That's what I see. And then the other fight, which this one hurts my heart, but it's what it is. Undercard of the same event, 10 rounds at super lightweight action. Ergashev. Shoazhan Ergashev fighting Juan Huertas. The reason it hurts my heart is because Ergashev, he's that guy. It's like at one point you thought there was going to be something there, and then everything derailed. Everything freaking derailed for him. And he's doing a get back now. You know, he got stopped in five, and that was a shocker because he was coming off a streak, and then he's coming back now. And he's still reasonably young, you know, but I think something just fell off with him because he had momentum. He was going to be one of the players, and then that didn't happen. And then Huertas, he's only fought regional, got stopped in two. He's not going to be a threat for Ergashev, I don't see. So that's why it hurts my heart is, come on, DAZN, you can do better than this. Anyway, that's our week of boxing to come. We'll check back in after some of these fights.